You know, there have been some polls that have shown in some cases people get their news from comedy shows like The Daily Show and not from actual news shows. The Daily Show on Comedy Central for years has been where many viewers turn for the news.
From Comedy Central's World News Headquarters in New York, this is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Daily Show correspondent Roy Wood Jr. joins me this morning. He is in Atlanta to perform at the Punchline Comedy Club. Good morning.
Yes, I'm here.
It's a rough time of the morning usually for comedians.
Usually. I did morning radio long enough to know how to wake up. The trick is to get up. You start your alarms at 5. Like if you need to be out the house by 7.
Really? At 5 in the morning you just keep snoozing?
I'm a 15-minute snoozer for an hour.
You set a 15-minute alarm every 15 minutes it goes off and you snooze it.
The first hour of my morning is just waking up. It's literally just my phone going off in 15-minute intervals. I need time to warm up my engine. I'm like an old car in the winter. I'm not 20 anymore. I can't just get up out of bed like a firefighter. Are you crazy?
Well, let's go right into a clip of you on The Daily Show. This is actually you commenting, and we hear your voice and Trevor Noah's. This is after the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Uh-oh. Watching what happened in Charlottesville, it only made me wonder, how are you the master race, but you so dumb?
Well, I don't understand, Roy.
Yeah, dude, Trevor, these dudes, they got a great thing going, and they're messing it up. Donald Trump's already given white supremacists pretty much everything they want. He's building the wall. He's banning Muslims. He's taking away black people's voting rights. He blocked Tyler Perry from dropping any new Madea movies.
Wait, is that true?
I mean, I hadn't seen one come out in like 3 weeks, so it's got to be Trump.
And then, of course, we got Madea in Halloween.
Yeah.
So that turned out to not be, quite be true.
Yeah.
How do you construct jokes about something as serious as the white supremacist rally where someone died and make sure that it's still funny?
The joke isn't about the incident. If the incident is horrible, then, of course, there are no jokes there within the actual incident. But there can be jokes about the people who maybe incited the incident. There can be jokes about how people reacted and responded to the incident, or in Trump's case, his lack of response immediately to that incident. So that is where you start mining comedy. It's not at the epicenter of what happened. It's in those outer rings and things that are kind of adjacent to the actual crisis itself.
But there has been this argument from some comedians that literally anything it should be okay to make jokes about, that there should be no limits to what comedians say or do.
And I agree with that. If you're a comedian that feels like you can write a joke that is effectively and funny about a person getting hit and killed by a vehicle, then get on stage and try it. And you think it's something you can get away with without offending someone, by all means do it. I'm saying for The Daily Show and what we do, that's not what we do. Because to even find that joke and try it, it's the degree of difficulty on that, it's way easier. And sometimes it's more effective to talk about what caused this, what led up to this. Was it the city officials? Was it the lack of planning? Like, what are the circumstances that led to this happening? There may be more comedy there and more solutions that create an atmosphere of prevention. And that may be the more beneficial joke for what we try to accomplish at The Daily Show.
Well, let's hear another clip. This is you, again, on The Daily Show, where you celebrated the win for Moonlight. Moonlight won Best Picture at the Oscars. And here you are.
Stole it from La La Land.
Here you are.
Going into last night, you had Black History Month. Beyonce's pregnancy with Jay's twins. Multiple black movies were nominated for Oscars. And Frederick Douglass came back to life. Trevor, we are operating at maximum levels of blacktivity that we haven't seen in decades, better known as peak blackness.
Do you think things have changed for... You still like that joke.
Yeah, I do.
Have things changed for comedians of color? Do you think things are getting a little bit... The doors are kind of opening in ways they hadn't before?
Yeah, I think people of color across the board, if you just look at the television shows that are out right now, I think there's definitely opportunities for creators of color to do things that are not only funny, but also meaningful and have some body, a strong body of work to them. If you look at what Issa Rae is doing over on HBO.
On Insecure, yeah.
Correct. If you look at Aziz Ansari with Master of None, or even with everything that's happening with Black-ish. Black-ish to me is a great example because that show is extremely woke. That show, Black-ish, will have...
Yeah, they surprise me.
They will have a fun issue, and then the next issue will be police reform. And they figure out a way to address the issue and make you squirm a little bit in your seat while you're watching it, and that's what good comedy is supposed to do, in my opinion. And I think we live in a world now where there's also not just a change in the comedians, but also a change in the audiences, where I feel like audiences are a little more aware. I feel like your social justice sinuses have been opened a little bit in the last year and a half. So there's people that want to hear this. There's people that actually have an appetite for people who have an opinion about the world that goes a little bit deeper into issues. And I think not only are comedians changing and entertainers changing, but I feel like the people who are listening are in a state of reception that's totally different now.
I want to play a little bit from Ricky Smiley, also of Alabama. He's from Birmingham. This is somebody that you have said before is an inspiring comic for you. And so I wanted to hear a little clip from one of his performances.
Alabama in the house, where we go to church on Sundays, church on Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, funerals on Saturdays, and back to church on Sundays. That's right. And now I joined a predominantly white church because white people get out on time.
So what for you defines a good comedian? What is it that you look for that makes somebody really great?
For me, I appreciate comedians that make you laugh even when you don't agree with them. That's what I gravitate towards. So, you know, I came up studying George Carlin and Chris Rock primarily. Like, those were kind of the 1-2 punches for me. Martin Lawrence will always have a place in my heart. I enjoy Paul Mooney, Doug Stanhope now as well these days. Ricky Smiley, I always loved, you know, not only for his style of Southern style humor and his perspectives, but Ricky was the first person, he was the first entertainer from Birmingham to blow. To put it bluntly, like, this was the guy I saw on cable, and of any comedian that I watched growing up, he was the one that was from my city. So that was the one that planted in my head, oh, I can do this.
Maybe I could do this for a living.
Maybe I could do this at all, to even attempt stand-up. I hadn't even attempted I wouldn't have had the courage to attempt it if not for Ricky Smiley. Because when you're from the South, they try to make you feel like what you have to offer the world doesn't matter, or that you live in an irrelevant place. It's a little different now, but, you know, I'm talking 96, 97, where all entertainment came from the coast and maybe a little bit from Chicago. There wasn't the internet the way it is now, to where you could contribute to the world from your couch. And so to see someone from my state on television representing my state, that was huge. It was huge for me.
Well, then let's hear this from one of your colleagues on The Daily Show. This is comedian Dulce Sloan of Atlanta, proudly. I spoke with her about 2 years ago, and I asked her if she ever feels pressured to be, quote-unquote, authentically Black in her comedy. And here's what she responded.
I was doing a podcast, and someone was saying, like, oh, you know, you have this identity of, like, the sassy Black woman. And I'm like, no, I'm myself. The only people that call me sassy are white people. Black people, I'm just a Black person who talks. You know, I try to say the things that are truthful to me, and, you know, it seems to resonate with people.
So do you ever feel this pressure to be a certain kind of comedian?
No. If anything, I feel a responsibility. I mean, stylistically, you know, at The Daily Show, the thing I'm thankful for is that the producers didn't pigeonhole me into only Black stories. You know, I've covered stuff about the Army Corps of Engineers and I've done stuff on like tax reform and voting rights issues. Like there's a number of things that I've been able to talk about. But then there's times where it's a black story and it's best addressed and approached by a black correspondent. And to me, I take that as an honor. And, you know, my comedy stylistically is just me. So whatever you think of me, I can't control that. But I also am not going to be on a television show in a time where there are a lot of issues surrounding race affecting this country and effectively not do them because I don't want to be seen as being too black or too woke. Man, give me all those stories. But also give me the non-race stories too, because I want to do everything, because I don't want to be seen as just the black guy who covers the black stuff. And thankfully the show has not done that to me, and they've given me an opportunity to cover an array of topics. I feel like if anything, I have a responsibility. There's not a lot of black people on TV, especially in the news satire realm. If we're counting the 10 or 11 shows that realistically address political issues on a weekly basis, there are not a lot of black faces. So to be able to be one of the black faces and talk about an issue from an angle that maybe a white person may not have been able to, that's pivotal to me.
That's Daily Show correspondent Roy Wood Jr. He's also a stand-up comedian, of course, and he's performing tonight and tomorrow night at the Punchline Comedy Club in Atlanta. You can get details at gpbnews.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you for
and
having
stick
me.
Stick around. Roy will join us in the break room. First, though, hip-hop artist Lingua Franca of Athens adds a couple more songs to our Georgia playlist. This is On Second Thought.